scripture in the 108th Psalm I'd like to look at. I wonder how much it would change our life if God would allow us to go one day into heaven. I wonder how much it would change us to go and see what it really is and come back and live our lives here after seeing that. I wonder what it would be like if the Lord would let us go one day into hell, spend a day. I think that that would probably alter our life. I think that it would probably change the way we perceive things and how important things are to us and what we would be willing to endure and go through. I imagine that that would probably change things. It would probably set something in us. But that's not going to happen. It's not. That's not the plan. But you know, the Lord, He does do things to establish our goings. He does. He does things that you and I can anchor our faith in, that we can look to. You know, the first thing that's got to happen for a person to be stable, and that's really what I'm thinking about today, is, you know, we want to see the kingdom grow. We want to see souls saved. Maybe we're not in a time that's happening a lot, but we definitely don't want to lose what we've got, and that happening is very hard. We don't want that to happen, and we definitely don't want to see any of us here go away. In order not to, you're going to have to be fixed. Now, when the Lord worked with the Apostle Paul, the Lord knew who he was. He knew what made him do what he done. Paul testified of himself that he was ignorant, that he done what he done supposing he was doing the will of God. He had great zeal for God, but it was totally misplaced. But God worked with him and gave him something in his life that I believe was a place in his life that he looked back on many times. No doubt he was challenged with doubts like a lot of us are. But he had an experience in God on that road to Damascus that he could look and say, I know I'm saved. I know God done something in my life right there. I have beheld Him. I have seen Him. And I want to tell us today, folks, not in Paul's experience, not in Peter's experience, not in Brother Salmon's experience, or Brother Carver's, or Brother Darius Gibson's experience, but in your experience. In your experience, you have to know, I'm saved by the grace of God. I have the experience of salvation. I was lost. I was undone. I was going the wrong way, and God delivered me from that. And I can look back to the experience and say, no matter what the devil says, I'm saved. Now, it doesn't mean that you can't lose that in your mind and lose that in belief. But if you don't have that to you've not got nothing to start with. And God's desire today is that we nail some things down. You know what? We can come up in places in life and leave it loose. We can leave things loose. Part of our experience, part of our faith. I don't know what to believe. I don't know what I should be doing. And we don't labor to nail that thing down in our hearts and find out by God, not by the pastor, not by the preacher, not by what the old saints used to say, but what the Spirit of God thus says to me. I've nailed that down. And now, for instance, I say in my own life, with whatever importance you put to it, I can say in my own experience, that the Lord has called me to preach. Okay? I can say that. You know why I can say it? I didn't leave it hanging loose. There was a time that the Lord began to deal with my heart, and I didn't know what was going on, but there come a place that that had to be nailed down. And it had to be nailed down than more than just the impression. I needed more than that. Lord, I need you to prove yourself to my life. And you know, I'll be honest with you, I know this. I'm not gifted as far as speaking. I was not, that's not what I would have been. But you know, that doesn't matter in God. It doesn't matter. And you know, I'm going to testify from my own life. I've said many times, and I believe this, it's a calling. It's a calling that God uses, and that's all it is. To me, it's a calling, and when it's needed, God uses it when He wants to use it, and it works. And I stand in awe of God many times, and the calling upon my life, And the places that the Lord has helped me nail down what I should be doing, where I should be going, what I should be standing for. And there's been times that there's been great forces against what we should stand for. Where exactly should I stand? And you know what I've had to do? I've had to go to God personally and say, Lord, I need help from you. I need you to nail this down in my life because it's loose-ended. It's loose-ended. I don't know. I don't know where to stand or what to say. A few years ago, there was a real press against saying to a minister that you can't preach certain things. You can't say certain things. And I was a preacher that said certain things. And it began to narrow me down and put me like chains on me. I couldn't preach free. And I would counsel and talk to people and nobody would give me my answers. And I felt bound more and more. And I finally went to the Lord and said, Lord, I need an answer. I know you want me to do this, but I need an answer. I need to nail, Lord, I need you to nail something down in my heart that I can stand on from now to eternity. And the Lord gave me a scripture. And it was the scripture that says, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's all the Lord spoke to me. And you know, that registered with me. And I come up out of there saying, thank you, Jesus, praise the Lord. I got the answer. And now all the devils in hell cannot change this idea of preaching the Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. The Word of God is His sword. He swings it. He cuts it in the right place. And when He says, I'm going to use you, He can do it. I was at liberty, and you know what I started doing? I preached in the counsel of the Word of God, what He told me to do, and let it cut where it cuts. It's the Word of God. You know, it set me free. It nailed it. It nailed it down in my life. When the Lord first started dealing with me about ministering, my pastor at the time, Brother Tony, had a Sunday night service, and he preached a message on kind of who's going to stand in the gap. Who's going to be the man that stands in the gap type message. And you know, I sat there in my seat that night, and everything he said was, he wasn't, but it was like that he just as well have been saying right to me, but right plain to me. And I even started saying, you know, and I looked over at the brothers over and think, that just don't fit him. And it kept coming back to me. And it made a feeling in me of Lord, I ain't able. It ain't that I'm not willing, Lord, but I know I can't do it. I can't do it. You know, the Lord's got His ways. And if we pursue after God, the Lord don't want us flung loosely in our experience. He wants it solid. He wants it because we really can't say with the passion we can to a lost world of how salvation works when it's not nailed down. When we don't have it in our own hearts to the capacity that it works like that. We are not credible. That's just it. It's not credible when it doesn't work. You can't tell, when a man comes and starts telling me of the gospel and he's been married 5 times, forget it. You don't have credibility in the way to live life. I don't believe it. And we're not credible either until we have an experience fastened, nailed down, that you and I can say, let me tell you, brother, I can tell you assuredly, like the blind man says, I was blind and now I see. You can't take it from him. It's nailed down. I absolutely was blind and now I see. And you can say whatever else you want, but I got this nailed down in my heart that this man, whatever you said of him, has the power to deliver from blindness because I can see. It's an experience. It's nailed down. You see what I'm saying? Nailed down. Well, the Lord didn't leave me either. I had a dream. In my dream, I looked down at this dam on the lower side of a dam made of bricks. It was brick and block dam on the bottom side. And the saints were all down there in my dream. And the water was starting to spring forth through the cracks of this dam. And I looked at that and I was thinking that this dam's going to break loose. And these people are going to be in trouble. The saints are down there. And I was just watching this scene and the saints was putting their hands against it and the water was spurting out and that. And I was standing there and then in my dream someone looked and said, Brother Marty's here. He can stop it, water from flowing. And I was like, and in my dream, I felt like when Brother Tony was preaching there, I felt I'm not capable. I can't stop the water. I was like, I can't stop it. I can't do anything. And they was just, yes, you can. We know you can. You're the one that's supposed to do it. And I was like, I can't do anything. And in my dream, I went down and I could just come by and touch the places and the water would stop. And I'd go and touch, and it wasn't exaltation. It was very humbly, Lord. And when I woke up from that dream, that impression of Brother Tony's message was still burning there. And the Lord speaking, He was wanting to fasten something down to me. And He worked with me like this. This is fastened down. I want you to do it. You can't do it by yourself. But I want to use you to help stop the tide of this world. Will you do it? Well, you know what? All the devils in hell, I've got something. I got it nailed down. If I'm faithful to the Lord's going to be faithful. I've got a thanksgiving to the Lord. I got years of them, but I got a recent one. I left home this last time, going on this trip, knowing that I was going to be in a number of meetings. And I thought, what is there to preach that I have not preached? What is there to be inspired with again? And I went thinking, I cannot imagine going to Wichita, ministering, going to Prague from Sunday to Sunday, two meetings on Sunday. It was too big for me. It was too big for me to understand that many messages inspired with something with them. It was beyond my ability, and I got back to the same place. It's fixed. It's not me. It's God. And again, I'm going to thank the Lord for something. Because every time one was needed, when it looked impossible, all of a sudden there was an inspiration fall on my heart. And again, I was saying, Lord, it's the calling. It's working. Still again, it's still working. Folks, it's not me. God's got a calling for you. Your calling works. Your calling. You need to nail that thing down and say, this is what I am in God. This is where God works with me. This is what He's doing with me. It's who I am, and it's nailed down. We don't want to lose anyone. Our experience needs nailed down. I'm saved and I know I am. I'm not saved because 26 years ago I got saved. I am saved because of that. But if it ended there, folks, I would be gone a long time ago. I've got nailed it down, and I nailed it down again, and then tomorrow I nail it a little tighter, and then I nail it again, and the Lord visited us again, and I've got testimony after testimony after testimony of God coming and driving another nail into my experience and saying, I'll heal your children one more time. I'll bless your life one time. I'll give you a message when you ain't got one. I'll bless when you think's impossible. I'll do it in a miraculous way for you. And another nail goes in, and another one, and another one. Oh, I preached all week last week at Prague, and I had a little old thought, and I thought, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. He gave me nothing more than that. Folks, I thought of the old prophet when the Lord said, you see these bones? Can they live again? Thou knowest, Lord. Thou knowest. And the Lord knows there's a great army in them bones. He knows that there's a potential there. I had a little thought. I thought I'll preach a few minutes and the Lord, I just have to bless. My wife said that was the best message of that whole meeting. The liberty came on me. I'm not bragging. You know it. It's God. But God was confirming one more time to this poor old soul. Going to nail this thing down for you. I called you to preach, and I can give you the ability to do it. You don't have to be in stress. You don't have to labor in your own works. I'm God. Trust in me. And He's God again. This psalm says, "Oh God, my heart is fixed." I'm going to stop right there. It goes on and sings and prays. But my heart is fixed. How did it get fixed? That fixed means it's tight. It's nailed down tight. It ain't gone anywhere. It's resolute. It's confident. It's there. Through what? I ask this today. Do you have an experience to where you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going all the way. I'm going all the way." You don't know what all the way is. You don't know what's going to be on the path to all the way. But you can still say, "I'm not saying it because I know. I'm saying it because I know a God that's able to take me all the way. It's fixed. It's fixed." And you say, "Brother Marty, you might have some failures in your life." And you know what I'm going to say? Yes. I might, and my heart's fixed above my failures. My heart ain't fixed on my ability to do anything anyway. And the potential that I could get in a place and fail. You know, one of the hardest things to get over sometimes is the failures of our life. And you know what? We can fix it beyond that, because you know what I found out? If I can say this in the right way, you get it in the right way. God's let me fail before. He has. He's moved the back that I could go into places of failure to do what? To say, "Lord, I failed. I'm a human and I failed, and I need your help here. But my heart's fixed. I don't aim to let failures overtake. Lord, I'm going all the way with this. My heart is fixed." God brings things in our lives, if we'll let them, will nail us down. And I think way too many people allow these things to come in their life. I think a lot of people don't even allow God the opportunity to allow that to be fixed. God works and does things, but they never acknowledge it. Do you know what? We're better off to stand up and tell what the Lord's done for us. You'll get the nail in there stronger. You'll get it in there better when you testify. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Salvation. The word of their testimony. The word of their testimony. Confirming to your own heart. Confirming to yourself. Do you ever just say in your own meditations, "Thank you, God, for saving me"? It confirms it to you. You're nailing it, your own experience down. Do you know every time you go to the Lord, every time you confirm in Him what He wants you to do, every time He witnesses a witness to you again, you personally, you're confirming an experience already being created. Overcome by the word of their testimony. I said it this way. I've known people that told a lie till they believed it. They just taught. And if you can tell a lie till you believe it, you surely can tell the truth till you believe it. Really, there are some times that God does something for us in our life and the devil's challenging that thing and you don't really know how true that really is. I'll tell you what to do with it. Nail it down. Nail it down, stand up and tell, "This is where I was at and the Lord delivered me." And if it gets a little stronger, tell it again. It'll get a little stronger and tell it again and make that a part of your life. That testimony that God has worked in my life. "Oh God, my heart is fixed. I got it fixed. Got it settled in my life." Over in the Isaiah, the 50th chapter. Living for the Lord is the long haul. It really is. It's about being able to endure what comes in life. Heartaches may come. Disappointments may come. I've said this a lot of times. We'll bury you or you'll bury me. I'm going to bury my wife or she's going to bury me. My children will bury me and stand over me, or I'll bury them. That's life, folks. And it's for the long haul. And there is people that's let a lot of things of life disturb them to the point that they wasn't faithful and they lost out in the long run. But Lord, help us to fix it. I'm going to live for the Lord whether my wife does or not. You understand me? That's my personal conviction to the Lord. She's a great blessing and benefit to me. But it's determined in my heart, I'm going to do it whether you do it or not. And you know what she says? Honey, I'm going whether you go or not. Got it fixed in my heart. I got it fixed whether, you know what? Sometimes children presses people's lives. You know what? It's fixed in my heart. My children don't go. I'm still fixed. I'm going. I've got it fixed. I got it in there. It's for the long haul. Got it. I got it fixed in my heart. Lord, I want to serve you through all these things. I know there'll be disappointments. I know the storm's going to come. I know there's going to be challenges in my life. But I'm going to fix it, Lord. I believe there's a God. Now see, 13% of the American population now is atheist. They don't believe there's a God. It's rising. It doesn't matter if there's 87%, and I'm in the 13%. It doesn't matter anymore. I've determined that, Lord, I'll be the last one to sit in there. If it's by myself, I'll be the last one. I'm determined. Lord, help me to fix it in my heart. Is God real? God can become abstract. You let your experience go, and God becomes more abstract and more abstract. And even the experiences become abstract. They become blurred. They become wondering if it was a part of some other force or some other natural phenomenon that helped those things happen. And the challenge of all that happens is very much in this world today. No. My heart's fixed. My heart's fixed, and God is real. In the 50th chapter of Isaiah, it says, "For the Lord God will help me. Therefore," he says, "shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." What that's talking about, a flint is pretty well unmovable, isn't it? Solid. Flint's hard. Set my face like a flint. Not going to move it. I'm set to it. Got my eyes set on the goal. Not moving it off the goal. The natural part of our lives, when we get our eyes off of the Lord and those experiences of the Lord, the natural thing is the drift. You remember the story of Peter? Peter saw the Lord coming and he asked the Lord, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. And old Peter got out there and he walked on the water. But now wait a minute. You can't walk on the water. You can't walk on. Peter can't walk on water, can he? Man can walk on the water. He did. He did. The scripture said he did. And he got out and he looking at the Lord and he was walking on the water. And that Lord uses a lot of things to get thoughts to our hearts. He was walking over the problems and cares, the sea of life. It was in an upheaval. It wasn't calm. There was nothing there to suggest that his body could stay up on it. But he was looking to the one that was able, and he has had his eyes set. And while he did, he was victorious, and he was able to come over. This is an analogy of life itself, a living for God. When we have our face set like a flint to the Lord, I'm looking to God. I'm going to tell you, these other things will be subject under our feet as it is His. He was on the water, so wasn't Peter. And as long as Peter kept the relationship with the Lord, his relationship with the Lord was in that contact that he had with Him. And as long as he did that, I believe in all my heart, he would have walked the waves. But he didn't. And he began to look at the other things around it, and it's the same way with us and our experience. I would like to think that I have enough experiences in my life to carry me a lifetime. But I don't. I don't. I need tomorrow's. I need tomorrow's. I need another one. Lord, I need another one. Help me in this. I feel like in the spiritual sense that I've walked on water because of the Lord. I feel like that there's been things in my life that the Lord helped me to overcome that was so far removed from who I am as a person. And because I had my heart fixed on Christ, I walked on it. I was able to see it under my feet. He looked away and he began to sink with the cares of the thing, of it there. He wasn't fixed on it anymore. He got off of it. He was loose flung then. And because of it, it was able to be again to influence him in his life. And his faith began to fail on him. The Lord ultimately lifted him up out of there. But he wanted Peter. Oh, Peter, why did you doubt? He said. Why did you doubt? Was you moved? I believe there come a time, I don't know that Peter ever walked on another bit of water. He didn't need to. There come a time that old Peter's faith was fixed so much on Christ, he had it fixed in Christ. He had it fixed on him enough to know that I don't care if you crucify me. Crucify me upside down if you will. Please do it. I don't feel worthy. But I know this, my heart's fixed on the Christ that made me to walk on the water. He's the Christ that made me to overcome these things. He's the Christ that gave me the Spirit within me. And He's able to do anything. I'm set on Him. My face is like a flint. Not looking here, not looking there. Got it right on Christ. He's saying today, folks, we need to get that focus in our lives. So often, this is just the truth, so often we lose focus and we're not fixed. We begin to look at the events of life. I had someone say one time, said that it was Brother Kenneth Abbott, who it was. He had a place on his leg, and he had counseled with Brother Vader, and he said, every time I look at this, it gets worse. Brother Vader said, stop looking at it. Stop looking at it. You're looking at the wrong place. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Have your faith mount up. Fix that thing. Fix it on the Lord. Then maybe you can look at it, but fix it on the Lord. Not on that difficulty or on that problem. The writer here says, I'm going to set my face like a flint. I'm going to keep it always focused on the Lord and what He can do. And the end of my life. And so often we compare things with the things of the world. What a mistake. We compare ourselves among ourselves. We compare ourselves of a different time and all those things. Folks, don't be comparing with this life. What we need to do is compare this life with the life beyond. I got to get a vision for what's over there. If the Lord would let us spend a day in heaven, I'm going to tell you, I think it would have a mark on our life. I think, how many times do you think old Apostle Paul said when he started the message and they was all looking and wondering what he was going to say, and he'd say, brethren, I was on the road to Damascus. You know why he said that? It was the experience of his life. It was a monumental place of the experience where he met Christ. Was it the only time? No, it was the beginning of his story. And then he went on. And he said, brethren, there was a time that I was in the deep. There was a time I was in the deep. And out of the Lord. And he was, no doubt, he said, there was a time I crawled out. And I went up to the fire and got bit by the snake. All over and over, he's saying, God's able. Should have died within minutes. I didn't die within minutes, folks. I didn't die because there's a God. There's a God. Oh, then I'm going to tell you what he was able to do. Because he had it fixed, he was able to go to Athens. He was able to go to these places. And where they was there and not knowing, Paul was able to say, let me tell you about the God you worship ignorantly. I worship him openly. Of course, we know who our God is. We have experienced it in our lives. And it's nailed it down. We're not wishy-washy. We're not here. We're not there. We don't have doubts about this and doubts about that. This thing's nailed down in our own experience. I am persuaded of God. I am persuaded of His dealings. I'm persuaded of His power. I'm persuaded of His wisdom. I'm persuaded of His love and faithfulness to my soul. I know He'll never forsake me or leave me. Oh, you look at this poor old thing and you say, oh, Apostle Paul, he's been abandoned. God has left him. Now he's thrown in prison and he's up there cold and shivering and all that. But you wouldn't have heard that from Paul. You didn't hear it from Paul. Paul called himself in the different letters. I appreciate this language. While he was there, the letters that he wrote, he liked to say, Paul the Apostle, prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't say this, oh, got shackles on the legs, Roman iron. He didn't say it was Roman iron. It's Jesus' iron. It's Jesus' will and way for my life. It's the potential of my life here. He had been in the deep. He had been on the road to Damascus. His heart was fixed. This is just a way of God getting me from here to there. This is the glory of God. And he wrote his letters. And what did he write? Power. He wrote powerfully in the name of the Lord. You know why he done that? Because he fixed something in his life. He knew who he was in God. He was an apostle. Not everybody can be an apostle. Not everybody's a preacher. But I know this. Everybody is called of God for something. And you may say, it's too little to mention. No, it's not. That little thing. Oh, I see it like this sometimes. It's like kindling a fire. The kindling's there. The tinder's there. You got some sparks glowing. And all it takes is for it to flame. And that's you. Sometimes that's you in what you do. That song you're faithful to sing. That testimony you sing. That place to where you slip in a card or you say something and all of a sudden, and the fire goes. You know what that is? There's a confidence of being fixed in God. I know the Lord speaks to me. I know He does. And people say, oh, you say God speaks to you and all that stuff. No, I'm telling you He does. I'm telling you the Lord speaks to our hearts and leads and guides us. I know that He does that. And I'm so thankful that He's willing to do it. Another story in the Scripture. There come a time that old Jacob got himself in a bind, didn't he? Jacob, the word Jacob means he was a supplanter. It means he was kind of devious. He snuck around. He'd done things under the cover. That was his name and that was his character. And oh, he come up to a place that he needed something from God. He was going out now and he was going to have to face Esau. 400 mighty warriors was with Esau. And they, every one of them had fire in their eyes. They was a destructive force. And here come Jacob, the one that supplanted him. And he was going to have to face Esau. And he's got women and children and his servants and flocks. And here he comes. And before he gets to Esau, he says, I've not got enough to stand. I need something fixed in my life. Lord, are you with me or aren't you? I can't go up there and face Esau without knowing something. I need to know whether you're there or not. And you remember the story? He wrestles with the Lord. He wrestles. He wrestles. And you know what he said? I will not let go. No, Lord. No. The determination, the desire to get it from God was in his heart. Folks, that's what we need. We need to come to these places and say, Lord, before I stand up to do something for you, you help me know. Fix it. Fix it in my life. Fix it. I want to know I'm in the place. I want to know, Lord, I know you know. Fix it in my heart. I'm going to tell you the things that he has done. I hope to write all this down one day. I really do. But the Lord's dealt in my life. And I'm thankful for it. I was in a meeting one time. And I had preached and was leaving the next evening. And I was done. I was done. And it was healing service. The Lord started dealing with me in the night. And it got hotter and hotter. And I was done. I didn't go around, wasn't looking for nothing. I'm done. And it started stirring in my heart. Stirring more. I could not think about it really. I just met over and over. And it come time. And it was in a healing service before the healing service. And I was there. This was coming on me. It was on hot. I wanted rid of it. I was ready to go. Wanting rid of this burden that was heavy on me. And then in a vision. Just in a flash of a vision, sitting with my eyes open, a flash of a vision, I saw myself at Monarch Springs camp meeting, camp there. There was no congregation there. In my vision was just ministers. Nobody's face, just ministers sitting around. And in the vision, in front of all the ministers was an angel with the hands in front of the minister. And behind every minister was this little guy with a goad. He was a little evil looking guy with a goad. Little fella back there with a goad. And in front of me was angel standing at attention in a double line that kind of went like this, then up to the pulpit at Monarch. And I saw that so vividly in my vision. Who sits around and thinks about stuff like that? I saw it so clearly. And then it was like as that faded away, before the service leader even said, it's time for the word or anything, someone got up and went up to preach. And the Lord just was like instantly spoke to my heart and said, I don't always get what I want. And I, you know what? That fixed something in my heart. That fixed a resolve. Lord, help me not to be goaded by the enemy. Lord, help me to have the line of the angels. I prayed that way. Lord, I don't know when to deliver the messages. Give me the line of the angels. Stand before me, Lord, when it's not my time. No matter how much it burns, you stand before me. Because see, that fell upon another experience that I had where it was burning so hot on me. And another minister had got up and to preach, and I've got to take this one home. This is the last, and I got to take this one home. And I literally said inside of me, this is cruel. And, you know, I felt so much that that message was for the people that was there. And I went home. You know, the Lord revived that kindle of that message in our meeting. And then, you know, when I got up, whose faces I was looking at? The people that was there had come there. And the Lord spoke something to my heart. He said, I know you can go. He said, I want you. I want you in control of my spirit, no matter how hot the burden gets. I want you to be in control. And you know, I say this, Lord, fix it in my heart, Lord, to do your work. Do you know how to do it? I don't know how to do it right. Fix it in my heart, Lord, to do your work. Set it like a flint in my heart for the calling that you've given me time and time again to give something that didn't seem to be there, to bless what wasn't in my mind, to give it out. Oh, Lord, help us in this. Oh, Jacob got to that place. He says, I can't face it, Lord, until you fix something in my heart. And he wrestled until the Lord gave him something. You know what he gave him? A new name. He said, you'll no longer be called Jacob, but we're going to call you Israel. Israel means something like wrestled with God and prevailed. The prince that wrestled and prevailed and saw God face to face. Saw him face to face enough to change old Jacob into Israel. He's not supplanting anymore. Did he go up there and try to trick Israel? No, he walked up there and humbled himself down and said, my brother, my Lord, I brought you the gifts. Oh, then no more that way. I'm doing it Israel's way. I'm doing it God's way from now on. Got something established in my heart now to start building on. Got an experience with God. You think Jacob ever forgot the day that he wrestled with the Lord? He gave him a reminder, didn't he? Put his hip out of joint. That indication is that was out all of his life. He had touched that. Why? Because I want you to always remember this experience that you had. Remember the experiences. Lay hold to them. Fix them in your heart. It's the love of God you fix there. He cares for you. If He cared for you enough to save you, will He leave you alone? No. If He saved you enough, all that one is the one song, He'll do it again. I love that song. He's done it before. And He'll do it again. Took us through that. He'll do it again. He's God. Jacob found that place and gave him strength to go and take care of the situation that was at hand. It was because he had his hands
or his hand fix. You remember David's mighty man. David had a mighty man that was said of him. I believe it was when he contended for the barley field. They all run away, but this one, he run up and went far as the barley field, and I mean, he defended the barley field. Not going to get this. We planted this one. This is ours. And he slew 800 men. One man slew 800, and the scripture says that his hand clave to the sword until he couldn't let it go. You want to talk about some termination? Gotten, has something fixed? He said, I'm keeping the barley field. God gives you and I the barley field. God gives us an experience. You know how you keep it? You fight for it. God has been here with me, and I ain't letting it go, devil, on any hand. We're going to be here. I'm going to fight for my loved ones. I'm going to get a hold of that thing. And I know what that feeling is. I've done enough in my lifetime to know that I've got to hold tools before. And I held on to them things until your hand would not hardly let them go, that they were so gripped on that. And that's what this thing said. He kept a hold of that so tight and so intensely that when he got through, it was praying. His fingers loose from the sword. It had been so... You know what kind of determination it takes to do that? The apostle said, quit you like men. Quit you like men. I don't know how long this race is going to be, but quit you like men. You know what a man does? He sees the job finished. That's the man. He will see it to the end. He gets the goal in mind, and he will not quit until the last nail is nailed in. So that he said, quit you like men. This always reminds me of when I was a boy. My dad was a very physical man. He could accomplish more than anybody I've ever known. He could just accomplish things. And there was a big rock that sat behind our house, and the rain would hit on that rock and splash in on the house. And it would always, you know, rot the house and stuff. So my dad decides that he's going to get rid of this rock. It was too close to the house to do any, you couldn't blast it out of there or anything. It was a big old rock. So my dad got him a sledgehammer. And he went out there and got up on top of that rock, and he started pounding that big rock with that sledgehammer. And it was our job when we came home from school every day to fill these buckets up with fragments of rock. And day after day, my dad would get out there with his hammer and pound on that hammer, on that rock with that hammer. And he testified, he said, sometimes there was nothing but smoke and dust would rise off of that, lick after lick. But he had hit it until the sound different, and then it would crunch, and then he'd break it to particles. And he'd stand there, and he'd do that, and he quit like a man. And there come a day that there's a patio out there. My dad took the rock out one piece at a time. He took that whole big rock out of there. Sometime later in my life, I was encouraged by knowing that. And we was always pressed for parking place. And this was after I grew up and had a car. And I'd come up and people would block me in. So I decided that I was going to make a turn place in the side of the house so that I could always get out. And so I started digging and going to make me a turn place. And I run into a rock. It was about this big around, which wasn't even a tenth of Dad's rock. It was a rock like this big around. And I dug around it and tried to get it out. It was too big to move out, and I didn't have nothing to pull it out with. And I pried on it a little bit, and then I remembered something. I remembered Dad's hammer. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to take this rock out of here. And I went and got that hammer, and I started to pound it. And I pounded all those easy chips on the edges off. And then I pounded and pounded, and that thing would not let loose. I pounded and pounded. And finally, I put the hammer up, and there was the rock. And it was kind of an ugly thing there where it was at. And this probably was another year later. I pulled up there one day, and that rock was gone. And I went and said, Dad, what happened to that rock? And he said, I busted it up. I said, really? And he said, got my hammer, and I went and busted it up. And I'm there sitting thinking, why couldn't I do it? Does he hit harder than me? Why couldn't I do it? You know why he done it and I couldn't? He went out there saying, this rock's coming out of here. It was fixed. I'm getting rid of that rock. And he stood there and hammered when there was nothing happening. He stand there and was faithful to do what he needed to do when there was no evidence that would ever show anything to the contrary. I want to tell you, living for God is just this way. When you got it fixed, Lord, I'm going on when I don't see you. Because you don't always see God's hand in your life. I'm going to go on when all the evidence is gone. Not because I know God's faithful. Lord, I know by faith you're there. And I know by faith that what you've set me to do, I can accomplish through you. Sometimes it's like a stone. And Jeremiah said, is not my word like a hammer? He said to Jeremiah, is it not like a hammer? Isn't it able to crush the bits? Isn't it to bring down to fragments? Isn't it able to crush the obstacles of our life? Yes, it is. And this is just what this is like. And when we have that kind of resolve, it isn't our resolve. It's God meets us at our resolve. God meets us at our determination to live for Him. And when we're determined and we have the heart of the woman that came importuning, you remember her? And she kept coming and she kept coming. And the unjust judge said, I fear not God or man, but because she wearies me, I'm going to give her what she wants lest she wearies me. And the Lord said, if this happens to the unjust, how much more? Because God wants to meet us at that kind of a resolve to Him. Lord, we love you. We want to serve you. Lord, help me to fix it in my life. See, this is a desperate place for me. Because what will it value me to spend thousands of miles on the road and nights and do all that and not be saved at the end? What would it do me any good? Lord, I need it fixed in my heart for the long haul. I want to see the end of it to where the Lord can say, thou good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of thy Lord. You pray for me. Amen.